Blog Talk Radio.
In the death of our God,
In your presence, oh Lord, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace in the cleft of the rock. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for your understanding, oh God, when we don't understand. Lord, I ask, oh God, today that you would speak to us as you use your servants to break bread. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would touch their eyes, their ears, and their lips of clay. And, Father, they would release what you have impregnated them with into our hearts, into our soul, oh God. And, Lord, I pray this morning that our minds will be receptive to your word, Lord, that our mind will not be going to the north, the south, the east, and the west, but our minds will be stabilized to hear, to receive, oh God, and grasp what you are giving us this day. Father, let not one word fall to the ground, but let it be planted in the good ground of our soul this day. We ask, Father, that you touch the north wind, the south wind, and the east wind, that your word might go forth and heal, deliver, and restore. Oh God, we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on in, Bishop and Apostle, and let the Lord use you. Come on in.
Amen. Amen for that prayer. We give God all the praise, all the honor, all the glory to God. Hallelujah. We thank him for this day. Greetings to all of you. We greet you with love. Hallelujah. We thank God for our apostle, our overseer. Thank God for him and for all that he does for us in the kingdom of God. As we are all one, when I say us, I mean us as the family of God. Amen. So continue. We're going to continue on this journey that we've been on the story of Elijah. So many very good lessons that we have learned. I know I have. I have seen some things in this story that I didn't see before. You know, as we read the word of God, as we go back, we can read the same word, and God will give us more than we had before, than he had given us before, because all revelation comes from God. We're able to see what we need to see as a result of having a relationship with God, being in covenant with one that will never break his covenant. He will never leave us forsaken, and he did not leave the prophet forsaken, even when the prophet was running and running from his responsibility. He still was there for the prophet. And to me, that's one of the things that shows us how amazing God is, that even when we are at fault, even when we make mistakes, our Lord just doesn't drop us like a hot potato. He is there. He doesn't drop us like people drop us sometimes, you know, when we are not doing exactly the way they would want us to do, or when we don't react exactly the way they would have us react, then people get very, very, sometimes very mean. And also there's always this problem with us in that, and I say us, and I'm speaking in general here, that sometimes we just expect too much of people. And what happened is when we expect great things from people, then there are times when we will have a great big letdown, because we are supposed to only expect great things from God, only depend on God to do everything for our lives. When we depend on him, he will send others to help us. He will give us all the help we need. And he's always with us in trouble. He's with us in the good times, the bad times, the ugly times. But we have a tendency to look up to people too much instead of relying on the favor and the faithfulness of God, the love of God, hallelujah, and remembering that God is able to do everything. We have to pray about everything. We can't just run. We should not. Not can't, because people do it all the time. We should not ever depend on what we think about a situation or what we just think about a person. We must examine. We must go to the Word. We must go to God for the wisdom and the understanding that we need. And unfortunately, we see our prophet, as we recap a little bit, we see our prophet running when the information is given to Jezebel about what really happened, because, see, Ahab did not really say what really happened. He didn't do that. But what he did was he gave this report, not giving honor to God, you know, not saying, well, I did see this great God. I saw what this great God, I see what this man of God is working with. He's working with the power of Yahweh. It is not the one that we've been looking to, Baal. It's the Lord God Almighty. He did not see it, even though he saw the work. He saw what happened, but he went there and he gave her this story, you know, and saying that all of the negative things. And when he gave her that report, he didn't say, I saw this God that Elijah worshiped. So let's go on. We are in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, glory be to God. And we went all the way, I believe, to 14 yesterday. Or day before yesterday, there is a change in Elijah. Just to recap, there's a change in Elijah. We find Elijah fearful. We find him running scared. He's exhausted. He's depressed, and he's wanting to die. And this is what happens with people also, even people of God. I mentioned yesterday that we sometimes feel like leaders in the church, we don't look at them as human like us. We don't look at them as people who can make mistakes the way we do, who are vulnerable as we go through this walk, who are fragile just like we are as we go through this journey, this Christian journey as saints of God. So this prophet is experiencing some great fear, and he's running. He's running from the responsibility because of the exhaustion, because we know, as we said on yesterday, that this prophet is probably very depressed. Glory be to God. He's acting like someone that is really tired and beat down, run down now. So King Ahab, in this chapter, tells the notorious Jezebel that Elijah has done. But she doesn't react the way, you know, she should have reacted. She reacts with, well, yeah, she reacted the way she should have reacted. Let me thank you, Holy Spirit, because she doesn't have a godly character. This woman is a woman who wants to be in control. We talked about her yesterday. She's acting as though she's the king. That's like she's wearing all the power in her. Hallelujah. Like she's this powerful God herself. That's how she's acting. So she reacts with vengeance. Don't we know that people do that? People are vengeful. They want to react with vengeance when something happens. Oh, I'll get you back. I'm going to get you for doing what you did to me. I'm going to do something to them, their children. You know, when we look at movies and when we look at the world today, a lot of times when we are at fault and things that we do in our lives, and I say we, it's general. I'm not talking about nobody in particular. Let's not get it twisted. You know, because some people get it twisted and think that we're pointing the finger at particular in someone at someone particular. Help me, Holy Spirit. But no, not the case. We're speaking in generalities here, okay? So King Ahab tells this terrible, notorious Jezebel what Elijah has done. And again, I say she's acting out of vengeance. I'm going to get them all. I'm going to get Elijah for what he has done. and she sends the message out. We went through this on yesterday. Amen. Elijah is running for his life in chapter 19. Let me go there. I may as well just go over some of the scripture with you first, because I'm recapping, but someone may be with us for the first time. But I believe most people have read this story. Amen. So let's go over to, let me look here. First I need to do, hallelujah. Thank you, glory to God. Let me get over here. Glory to the name of Jesus. He said around 11:30, we have something to do today, so we're not going to be very long before you. Hallelujah. I don't want to rush the word of God, but we really do have some things to do. Hallelujah. No, I know it was happening today, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's go on. We are in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we, like I said, we see this burnout. When we act upon our emotions, then we can become poor leaders. And Elijah is a courageous leader. We saw all the courageous things he did. We've seen the boldness in him. We see the character of God in him. He successfully confronted all of those Sabaal, 400 prophets of Asherah, turned on his heels and ran from a wicked woman who threatened his life. Don't you know there's always a threat for our lives? Always, yes, chapter 19. We started in 19, 1 to 4, and then we went from 4 to 14. But Elijah's emotional stress will cost him. And here's the things that he did. Just recapping, I want to stop here, just recap a little bit. I don't want to move too fast, even though I have to be finished early. He predicted a drought to King Ahab. And after he predicts the drought, he cuts himself off from his friends, okay? Number one mistake. He supernaturally receives food from a widow and the birds. But he still felt totally alone in serving God, and he imagined everyone was trying to kill him. Now, he's supernaturally been taken care of. See that this is a depressed man. He announces the end of the drought, and then he's exhausted. I'm just recapping from 18:2. He felt famished. He felt that he was starving, and he was even somewhat famished in his spirit, and he lays down. He challenges the 450 prophets of Baal, and then he gets lost. He's hiding. He got lost in a cave after he did that. And that brings you over into 19. And he's got all the people of God together. Everybody is watching. And he is going to eliminate these prophets, these false prophets. But still, he's got some self-pity. He complains of no reward. Don't we hear that a lot? A lot of complaining. He prays down rain in Judah, but then he gets depressed and he prayed that he might die. Don't you see the difference in this mentality of this man of God? He outruns the storm in Ahab's chariot, and then he's alone. Then he's thinking, I'm all alone. He's still a prophet of God. He has the same feeling that Jesus had when he felt forsaken. My God, why have you forsaken me? He felt alone. Okay, so he's confronted by Jezebel, and he leaves his servant. He feels empty. He had no fresh word from God.
Why? Because he couldn't listen now. He couldn't focus now. He couldn't be still. He didn't go before God and be still. Hallelujah. Because he already knows God. He didn't be still. Instead, he ran. He didn't be still and say, you know, and pray to God and say, God, I know you're a great God. I've experienced you. I know what you're able to do. Hallelujah. So are we going to run or are we going to stand still? Are we going to stand still? Salvation of the Lord. Are we going to stand still and pray? Stand still and know that the power of God is going to work. God is going to always show up. Amen. We got to just stay still. He said, just be still and know I'm God. Remember I'm God is what that scripture means. Oh, they're here early. Hold on, you all. Still here. Bear with us. I'm still here. There's something going on, but all is well. But just please bear with us. All right, we're back. We're back. No, I need to. I can't put my headset on because Fafal needs to hear what's going on.
Okay.
Amen. Yeah. All right. Okay. Okay. Amen. Right in front. We're here. We're here. So anyway, we see there's a change in the prophet. He leaves his servant. He continues another journey further into the desert. He crawls under this scrubby tree, and in deep depression, he asks God to let him die. This is not the same man we saw in chapter 18 and 17. Have you ever been there? We talked about it yesterday. Have you ever been there? And I talked about some of my experiences in despair, feeling defeated, when all your expectations, hallelujah, all your expectations just does not seem to be coming out like the way you want it to come out. Amen. I'm going to have to change rooms here. Okay, Apostle, I'm changing rooms because there's some... some noise going on here. Amen. Gotta get away from the noise. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God, Jesus. Thank you. There's always things to do. Glory to God. Bear with me. I apologize for the delay. There's stuff going on.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Right there with you. Hallelujah. We're here. All right. So gloom and doom happens with all the people, with all people. Life happens. Everything changes. Things change. Nothing will ever remain the same. I don't know what Elijah was really expecting. With the power of God that was so clear, that had manifested, maybe Elijah thought there was going to be some change in Ahab. Seeing the power of God, his mentality changed. And he told the people that they were going to honor their God. They were going to honor Yahweh. He had a different view than this king. That king saw the power of God, and it changed his mentality instantly. But this one, this wicked king, he said he had the same mentality. He saw with his own eyes what God had done. Ahab did not have a positive response. With the result, with that result, there was going to be changes in the kingdom of Israel. We can only guess, though, but something really shattered Elijah's focus and his faith. You see, this is very important for us to look at the story and be very careful. And what's the main thing he did not do? He ran before he prayed. He ran. Prayed. He didn't seek God. He didn't call on Yahweh, the one who is his rock, the one who we know will protect him. Promise of protection is in the word of God. And Elijah knows that. Hallelujah. So King Ahab was privileged to see the mighty power of God. Isn't that a privilege? It's a privilege for all of us to see the mighty hand of God moving. The name of Yahweh was vindicated. Hallelujah. And not only is his name vindicated, but he vindicates us. And he honors us for our faith. Hallelujah. The prophets of Baal were severely defeated and destroyed. And the same thing is going to happen to anyone that calls themselves to be one of our enemies. God will destroy our enemies. And the Bible says that he will even cause them to bless us. Amen. But for Ahab, all of this didn't really mean anything at the time. He wasn't thinking straight. His mental capacity was torn down in terms of who he really is and who is really working through him. Glory be to God. So his mighty acts that he did in chapter 17 and 18 and all the things that he was doing is not on his mind right now. He's not recalling. He doesn't have a recall. All he hears is, I'm afraid. I got to run. Those mighty acts that was done by God wasn't coming to his mind at that moment. It should be a warning to all of us as well, because scripture shows the same thing that happened to Elijah has happened to others, and these things can affect unbelievers. It can affect believers as well. There are those that go around today, when I say affect believers and unbelievers, when we see the people of God falter, when people who are not saved and don't really know the Lord and they see us falter in our ways, when they see us compromise, when they see us doing things that they know is not right, that can cause these people not to come to God. Hallelujah. Although God got ways to bring them to him. However, we should not be the cause of our brothers to stumble. We should not be the cause of someone not coming to God, someone not serving God, someone running and leaving the church as a result of what they see leaders do that is not right. So this is very important. What we do means a lot. Some people will say, it's none of your business what I do, but it's God's business. What we do is God's business. God is concerned about everything we do, and he's watching what we do. And he is going to be the judge of us. He is going to be the one that's going to chastise us, although other people cause us all kind of harm, but they do it for meanness. They do it because they're vengeful. We cannot take revenge on anybody. God said, vengeance is mine, not yours. It's not. And so this is what wicked people do. This is what people do who are not like God. Amen. So we see a vengeful person. We see jealousy, we see hatred, we see all of that in this story, but we also saw the power of God. And therefore, we are to focus on the power of God. And then we should examine ourselves to see if there's something that we need to change about our walk. And if we are in some type of depression or some kind of oppression, whatever it is, this story lets us know that God is there and God is going to move. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So scripture shows that we feel this man of God felt. Obviously, he felt that I'm a man of God and nobody should even be thinking about killing the people of God. Nobody should even be thinking about killing me. My God. And he's only thinking about killing. He's only thinking about what he heard. What he heard. He's heard. You know, Jezebel told him she was going to do to him what was done to those other prophets. And I'm not going back to all those scriptures. I'm just recapping. So there are those going around today claiming that things like this can't happen to believers. And I touched on that yesterday, that our new life in Christ gives us some type of immunization. It immunizes us, hallelujah, from things happening in our lives. But that is so untrue. Hear me today. Hear God today. But we can be around the word. We hear it taught and even experience the work of God in our lives, and still we can grow lukewarm in our walk. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Go there with me. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, oh, that today you would listen as he speaks. Listen as the Lord God speaks. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. Because they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. You see, when we don't understand or we don't have a recall, our thinking will go in a way of negativity and not positive thinking. Amen? So we have to be very, very careful. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 15, it reads, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, but I wish you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. So we can't be wishy-washy. Like I said, excuse me, we've got to have that fire continue, hallelujah, with us. And how does the fire stay burning in our hearts? By desire. We've got to have the desire to do the will of the Father at all times and not compromise. We got to have fire and desire to do all things that God called us to do and not run and shirk responsibility. But, like I said yesterday, when we get tired, we get weary, sometimes in well-doing. And the Bible clearly tells us, do not get weary while doing good. But we got to go to God about everything. I said last night, excuse me, I was praying with my daughter. And she's going back to get her master's. And she was kind of feeling a little overwhelmed with all the work that she has to do. She had to do a lot last night. And so I said, well, I prayed for her. I said, you see, I pray about everything. Nothing is too minute for me to pray about it. I don't care what's going on. If it's an issue, I'm going to pray about it. If I can't, like yesterday, I couldn't find my wedding ring. And I thought I lost it. But I prayed to God. And places where I had looked, I've looked everywhere, I couldn't find it. But I'm just saying, just giving you an example. I prayed to God. I asked the Holy Spirit to lead me to it because I know I had it. I knew it was somewhere around me. But I had put it back into my jewelry box. and didn't realize it, or the angel put it there, because I had been in my box. I went in there looking for it, but I couldn't find it. And I went right back to where I had already looked, and there it was. I put everything out. I pulled all of the jewelry out, and I put it, and I went through it again. And there it was. But I told God, I said, God, if this ring is lost, I thank God I'm not lost. If this ring is lost, I said, God, I value the gift that was given to me through you by my husband, because I gave God the credit for even giving me a wedding ring and giving me a husband. All right? I didn't do that. So I gave him, I said, God, I honor you more than I honor anything that I have. I value you more than anything that you have given me. I value your love. And I just was talking to God about it before I found the ring. I started talking to him. I said, God, you know where it is. You know where it is because you know all things. And it's the conversation I'm having here to him about this ring because it's sentimental. It has sentimental value. But I don't value it over God. Nothing is more valuable to me than what God has done for me and my life and family and the friends and the church that I know about. Nothing is more valuable than that. And that's what I said to God. You know, God, you're the greatest gift I have, God. I was letting you know. Yeah, I was upset because I couldn't find it because it's something that means a lot to me, but not more than God means to me. Amen? So we read now that Ahab, we read that Ahab is, of course, we have made it very clear, and the word makes it very clear, that he is a wicked, wicked king. But God is so holy. God is so good. There is no evil in God. And God is not going to leave his prophet forsaken. He's not going to leave any of us forsaken. So Ahab declares what happened. He's telling his wife, the wicked Jezebel, in detail the events of the day, point by point. And as the news normally does, so often does today, he distorted the truth. He distorted the issues, and he failed to give the whole truth because his pride, hear me, and his unbelief hardened him against the truth. He didn't want to say the truth because of what it would make him look like. So as a result, he brought great trouble and pain not only to the prophet, but to himself and the whole nation. See, our decisions can not only affect us, but family, our community, the church. Bad decisions can harm other people in many different ways, bad decisions that we make. So all that Elijah had done, and now he had killed all the prophets. All that Elijah had done, hear me, he had done, failed in his humanness. He failed to see God in what had happened. He failed to, well, Elijah failed to pray to God, but this king failed to see God, thank you, Holy Spirit, in what had happened. And Elijah as but God's instrument. He doesn't see him. Ahab doesn't see what he should see. And Elijah is not having a recall. Amen. We got to recall our experiences. We got to not run so quickly, not move so fast, but we got to take time to inquire of God. Like so many today, he was completely focused with misrepresenting what God had done, not telling exactly how everything went. So this king is not motivated. He's motivated by his hurt, by pride, anger. This is what motivates a lot of people, and it's very sick. People become sick when we are operating in pride, operating through anger. We got anger issues. We got all kinds of issues that can cause us to make bad decisions. my God, cause turmoil, cause problems for others, my God. So Elijah, so he was blinded. Help me, Holy Spirit, today. He was blinded. So I'm talking about Ahab, blinded by evil. That's what evil does. The devil, the liar, the father of lies, deceives and continue to weigh on people's minds so that they can be blind, not able to see, not able to hear God, and then try to get some rationale out of something that's totally irrational. This is what happens. So when we protect our own turf, when we get our eyes on people and what they have done or said, we fail to see God at work. Amen? When our eyes are on people, whether we admire the person, whether we admire their life, or if we are like Ahab in resentment, we miss the truth. We distort the truth. This is what media does. This is what people do. Many times, we never hear the story just the way it really goes. My God, if somebody tell you a story, you tell somebody a story, believe me, when they go tell it again, it's not going to be the same way. They're going to add from. They're going to add to it or take something from it. So there is always times that we could miss the truth. Hallelujah, because it's distorted. We blow it all out of proportion. Or we hide it completely. I talked about hiding yesterday. We got to tell the truth no matter how what we think the income, the outcome is going to be. We got to tell it like it is. My God, hallelujah. We become blind to the work of God. And all we see are our conditions. All we see is the challenge. All we see is the storm. I talked about it yesterday. We see the storm. We look at what's going on and not look to God, not run to God, not bow to God. Help me in this issue. I need to hear you and wait on God. He said, wait, I say, wait on the Lord. All we see is what's going on. So when this happens, we are unable. We can't respond with the right kind of action. That is with ministry. That is in our personal lives, that is in our workplace, not just in ministry, that we falter. And so if we are going to endure, we have to keep the faith. We have to do the recall. Amen? I often do the recall. When something is going on, even in our prayer, God, 2 years ago or a month ago, God, I saw what you did. I saw what you did for that person. I have seen your mighty hand at work, oh God. And I know you're the same God today. So, Lord God, I'm just going to wait on you. I'm going to give this to you. But like I say, you got to pray about everything. Nothing is too minute. Nothing is too trivial for us to go to God and say, God, I need you in this matter. Because, God, I need you in everything. Amen? In place of bold faith and love, we cause pain and misery for all people concerned. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, we must get rid of every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with the endurance the race set out before us. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He fixed on Jesus. That's what we're talking about. The prophet didn't say fixed on Jesus. He ran without calling on God. For the joy set out for him, he endured the cross. Jesus didn't run away from his responsibility, what he came here to do. He, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Why don't we just sit down? My God, why don't we just sit on the word? Hallelujah. Depend on the word for everything, because God is on the throne and he works in our behalf. Why don't we just sit down and be still and know he's God? Amen. Call on the mercy seat for help. Glory be to God. That's what the scripture is saying. This is what I seen just now. Jesus sat. He did the work and he sat. If you know you're doing the work, you know you're doing everything God called you to do, just sit down, wait on the Lord, depend on his mercy, depending on his faithfulness, depending on an almighty, powerful God. Depend. Don't lose. Don't try to be independent of God in any situation. We got to depend on him for every situation. Hallelujah. And so the scripture continues to read, he endured opposition against himself by sinners so that you may not grow weary in your souls and give up. Oh, my God. You have not yet resisted to the point of bloodshed in your struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as sons? My son, do not scorn the Lord's discipline or give up when he corrects you. Verse 6. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves. He chastises every son he accepts. Verse 7. Here, endure your suffering as discipline. God is treating you as sons. Discipline, all that comes with the training, which is our subject matter today. Training day. For the purpose of godly character, for the purpose of developing God's character is the subtitle. Hallelujah. For what son is there that a father does not discipline? But if you do not experience discipline, something all sons have shared in, then you are illegitimate and you are not sons. Verse 9 reads, besides, we have experienced discipline from our earthly fathers and we respect. I submit ourselves all the more to the Father of spirits and receive life. For they discipline us for a little while as seemed good to them, but he does so for our benefit that we may share his holiness. Verse 11, now all discipline seems painful at the time. Mm-hmm. Don't we know that? Not joyful, but later it produces the fruit of peace and righteousness for those trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your listless hands and your weak knees, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what man may not be put out of joint, but be healed. Amen? Verse 14, pursue peace with everyone. Pursue peace with everyone. And holiness. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. So important. For without it, no one will see the Lord. Oh, my God. Excuse me. Verse 15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no one be like a bitter root springing up and causing trouble. That's what Ahab and Jezebel is. They're bitter, angry. They're vengeful. They're hateful. So, therefore, and through it, many become defiled. Many become defiled. Don't we see it today? When people focus on people, when people focus on the problem, focus on the challenge, there's going to be challenges. We all know that. But we can't be focused on that. We got to be focused on what God says. You see, when we focus on people, there are things that are going to happen that are negative. You know, when we brag about the person that we admire so much, bring temptation to that person and encourage others to look up to that person, or that there's some glory in man to glorify other people, or they attack and criticize, bringing persecution and heartache. Don't we see that happening even in the church? And these people don't want us to talk about what's happening in the church. But God always sends his prophets, his people, to correct, to edify, picture of myths. God not only sends his prophets and his people to give constructive criticism to them, to tell them what thus saith the Lord, so that the correction can bring on revelation and elevation. God wants to elevate us through training. That's the only way it's going to happen. But unfortunately, many people don't want to hear any criticism. Now, I'm against negative criticism, but I'm all for constructive criticism. It's what we teach, and God doesn't mind it, as long as it's good for the soul. Knowing what's wrong is good for the soul. Knowing what's right is good for the soul. God said, do what's right and do what's just. So it's good for the soul. It's good for our environment. It's good for the people that we minister to. It's good for our families, and we should be ministering to our families by how we walk. We should minister by how we walk more than what we talk about. Amen? So we attack and criticize, bringing all this persecution and heartache to our brothers and sisters. That is cruel. Hallelujah. We attack our neighbors. We attack people with our ways and our meanness and our anger. You know, a lot of people are angry and bitter and hateful with unforgiveness in their hearts, and it shows. It shows by how they act. What's in us is going to come out of us. What's in the heart will flow out. Glory be to God. We can't have it no other way. We can't, like Sister said, act like a frog and think we're going to turn into a bird. He said that yesterday. What you see is what you get. What you see in people is what you get. What they're doing is what you get. I especially like the writings of Maya Angelou, a very wise woman. And she said, and it stayed with me all these years. I'm talking 20 years ago. She said, when people show you who they are, believe them. Believe them. More so what you see than what you hear. Well, with God's word, it's different. Well, you have to see it. When you hear it, you got to see it. And that comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. As we hear the word and do the word, we will be able to see more and more of God, see more and more of the mighty hand of God, see more and more of the victories that he's already won for us on the cross. So I wonder what would have happened if Ahab had seen God on Mount Carmel and then went back and then go back to Jezebel, and be in awe of God. Have you ever met somebody that you were impressed with? But see, I'm only in awe of God. I'm going to use the word impressed. And you see what they do. You meet them, and when they walk in, they got that charisma. They got a smile. They're bubbly. They come in talking to everybody. They meet strangers and they talk with strangers. I've been in the company of a person like that, and her name was Patricia Johnson, my aunt. Everywhere she went, she touched people. Everywhere. She would stand at the bus stop and talk to people and end up laughing and talking. She'll make you laugh. She'll walk in the room with a smile and brighten the room up. Everything could just be quiet and just going along, you know, just quiet and everybody's just. But when she walked in with that smile and that voice, you were gonna pay attention. Come in with that high, that cheerful voice, and always willing to help her neighbors. Always willing. When you go to her house, oh, get ready. You're gonna be treated royal. When you will walk in that house, if she didn't have anything cooked, she was pulling stuff out to cook. Sit down. Can I get you something to drink? I mean, she'd take strangers. We bring somebody with us to her house, and she would treat them like she had been knowing them all her life. Receive them That's the kind of person. So, you know, you can be impressed by that person. But we're not supposed to be in awe. I believe, this is what I believe, and this is how I, only my God is awesome. And I'm in awe of his amazing, the amazing things that he does. I'm in awe of God. Hallelujah. We got to be in awe of the Lord God Almighty, the one who created heaven and earth, the one who made us. My God, we got to be in awe. So he's an awesome wonder. That's who God is to me. Hallelujah. Awesome and mighty in all his ways. So if Ahab had seen God on Mount Carmel and went to his wife to tell the real thing, the real story, what really happened, and conveyed it to her in a way of, wow, this is an awesome, amazing God that Elijah serves. I wonder what would have happened if he had said, I saw God, Yahweh of Israel. Oh, at work today, I saw him prove to be the true God. What if he had said that? He brought down the fire from heaven, and, you know, I mean, he should have been excited. He brought down the fire from heaven and did that, that this supposedly God we've been serving, Baal, and those impotent Baal prophets. Oh, he tore them down. He tore them down. And they could not do what Elijah's God did. See, he is God, and the Baal prophets are false. What if he had said that? Him, like Nebuchadnezzar did when he seen what God did with those Hebrew boys. Instead, he ignored the facts about the Lord, and he called attention to the act of Elijah, how he mocked the Baal priests, how he concealed them, and eventually had the people help kill them. You see, that's what he went back. That's what he went back to say. King Ahab's response took glory away from Yahweh, took the hallelujah, took the I praise your God, you know, took the credit that should be all God, and he focused his attention, my God, on how bad it was. So what happened is now he's not full of the fire of God. He don't have no fire of God. Come on here. He's got the fire of jealousy. Those, you know, events that happen, you see other people doing things and you have never done it, and you see people doing certain things that you would like to do or you wish you could do. We wish we could do it. And the flames of jealousy, the flames of revenge, the flames of hatred, my God. It becomes a blazing fire, but it's an evil fire. It's not the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. We see that kind of strange fire. We see it. We see it with our reactions. How do we react to things? What are we doing? What are we saying? And as a result, there's no chance. There's just no repentance. He had no repentance. That should have made him fall to his knees before Yahweh. When we see these things, it ought to make us fall to our knees, bow down, and repent. But he didn't do that. And so his wife, Jezebel, who wanted to take down the prophets of God, that spirit, that Antichrist spirit, and people say, oh, Jezebel, I want to take down the man. No, Jezebel is a spirit. Jezebel want to take anybody down who knows their authority, who knows about the power of God, who's going to open up their mouth and speak what thus saith the Lord and do the will of the Father 100%. That's who she want to take down. Jezebel just want to take down the men of God. Well, there are prophets. There are women who are women of God. We're all children of God, and we are all in this race together. We are supposed to be. But unfortunately, some of us are all together with others, and some of us are not in the position that they should be in. And that position is, I'm all the way with Jesus Christ. That's my position. Hallelujah. And stop resisting. Stop resisting God. Stop resisting the power. Stop resisting. Stop abandoning God. Stop. We got to stop. We just got to make up our minds that I'm going to do what God said, regardless to what I have to give up, regardless to what I have to lose, whatever it is. I'd rather lose that than to lose my soul. We got to give it up. So I'm able to hurt the Lord. Jezebel is unable to hurt the Lord. Jezebel did what Satan and people always do. She attacked the person of God, and she exploded with her hatred and her malice. She's got the fire of hatred and malice in her. She sent a messenger with her threat, and if she knew where he was, why didn't she send the soldiers to kill Elijah? She didn't know where he was. She didn't know. So why send a messenger to warn him so he would have time to flee? You know what that says to me? I'm going to tell you. It shows the sovereign ruling hand of God. His hand overrules all. And how God uses the wrath of man to praise him. You see, God will use whatever he chooses to use to get his work done. So it was also, it probably also was because she was afraid of the people who had helped kill the priest. Now, this is just me saying that. And they were now on Elijah's side. So she attacked Elijah with a threat. And that's what caused him to run. I'm going back here because this is so important. So many people are running because of fear. So many people are running because they don't want the responsibility of being obedient, the responsibility of serving God. It is a great responsibility, but we can do it with the strength of God. People are running. Everything is just, I don't have to do anything. It's just going to happen. No, we got to work out our own salvation. We got to do the work. We can't just sit around and think everything is just going to happen. We got to pray. We got to intercede for others as well as pray for our friends. We got to do everything God said to do. And one thing Jesus warned us, one of the warnings was, be careful. You ought to always pray. Say, watch and pray. Be careful lest you fall into temptation. When the disciples were sleeping and they were supposed to be praying, Jesus took them with him to pray. He said, come with me. He was going to go pray, and they were to be praying, but they weren't. Every time he went to check on them, they were asleep. So our lesson there is stop sleeping. Stop hiding. Pray. No matter where we are, we can pray. Pray lest we temptation, because prayer keeps our hearts in I hear people of God say that. I don't know what I'll do if you leave me. I could not have done it without you. I could not have made it this far without you. No praise whatsoever or credit to God. I am not going to say that I don't know what I can do. I love James Washington, but I am not. God knows I love Bishop. But I will never tell him I can't do nothing with it. I can't make it without you. I made it before I met you, and I'll make it if he leaves first. If he leaves this earth first, I still have God. God is not going to ever leave me, but will leave us for one reason or another from time to time. Everybody got to leave this place. But I have never said to Bishop, I don't know what I'll do without you. You my everything. No, I never told him that because he's not my everything. God is my everything. My children are not my everything. When you get into a relationship with Jehovah Yahweh, let me tell you something. When you really in, not just in position, but be in relation. I always say you can't just be positional. You have to be relational. When you get into that relation with God, a relationship with God, you know how you feel? We'll never part. We'll never part. But when people get married, it says, until death do we part. Till death do we part. But we don't part from God. We do not part from God. When you have Yahweh that has taken over your heart and you got that fire and desire in your heart for God, you don't separate from God. You don't think that you can't make it. You might be down. We get down sometime. Again, I'm talking generally. We may get down. We get a little weary sometime and all of that. But who we know? We know who to run to. We know we are purpose-driven. We are driven by the purpose of God for our lives. And we know that he's training us. We know that he's with us. And we know that our training days are going to last until we go with him. But nobody is greater than Jehovah. He's got everything I need. It's not anybody in my life other than God that's got everything I need. Nobody, ain't nobody like him. Nobody at all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see in this story that we see what will happen when people won't repent. We see what happens when we allow fear to creep in. We see what happens. Fear can creep in if we're not praying. If we just don't decide that we say, okay, I'm just going to run. Not thinking at all. The prophet really and truly, he wasn't thinking. He didn't take time to think. My God, he just started running. My God, but we can't run. Jonah ran. He ran from his responsibility. God put him in the belly of a fish. He came to his senses. My God, when he got in that belly of a fish and all them gusts and all that stink down up in there, all that darkness down up in there, he started to praise God and God spit him out. Hallelujah. God let the fish spit him out. So God will come and rescue us even when we are acting out of character, out of the godly character that God has been training us to be like. We got to be like Jesus. So if we're stubborn and we want to cling to materialism, we want to cling to our power, we want to cling to everything that we have, we are going to falter, we are going to fail. We have got to cling to Jesus. Not that failure can't turn into something positive, because God is able to do that. He's able to do all things. Things that we make mistakes about, God can turn it around for our good. He turns it around, and he'll use that very thing for his glory. He'll use it all for his glory if we just allow God to move. So Jezebel's character is evil. It's what we would expect, but not so with Elijah. Elijah's actions is totally out of character. It reminds us. God wanted to remind us again of everybody's vulnerability. We are not exempt from it, hallelujah, that we must each take heed lest we fall. We must all pray, like I just said, lest we fall. We must all serve Jehovah lest we fall, seeking God in all of his righteousness, seeking him first, and he adds all things. God never said man was going to add all things to you. God said, I'll give you people for your life. I'll give you some help, but I'm not giving you nobody to worship. I'm the only one that you should worship because I'm a jealous God, and I am God, and I am in control. I am a God that's sitting on the throne. No other man sits on the throne of God. Nobody. Ain't nobody like him. You must take heed lest you fall. The potential of a fall is just one wrong turn, one wrong step, one wrong word. My God. Wrong company. We got to take heed lest we fall. It's always a possibility. So Elijah runs. It's out of his character. We've never seen this man of God run before. I'm talking about the run now. We ought to stay on the run for Jesus. Glory be to God. But we can't, you know, when we look at the story, God is just showing us the vulnerability of us all, that we're all just fragile, that we're all just human. That's what he wants to show. That we all know what we are. We can do what God will do. Just ran because he didn't need it. And we read James' statement in the book of James that Elijah was a man like us. And his actions in this chapter. My God, we thank you, Lord. See, the first lesson we've learned many lessons. I know I have. I've learned some new things in this because I have read this before and studied it before. But you learn more as you go. One of the first things you ought to keep in mind, Elijah's action is about his expectations. It's based on his expectations, and they have an impact on us. What we expect of everybody else. As I said in the beginning of the sermon, we can expect too much of people. Like as if we can change something. Like as if whatever we say is going to make the change. No, it's whatever God will do through us that can make the change. He's expecting something different from these people, something more positive. This is what Elijah is doing. He was looking for a turnaround. He's looking for a turnaround in their mentality, a turnaround in the spiritual condition of what was going on in the kingdom at the time. But we can't demand things. We can't demand things of people. No matter what, let's talk about that. We cannot demand people to do what we want them to do or what we know they should do. We got to leave it alone. We can't change people, and there are some circumstances that we can't change, and that's why we got to pray that prayer. Lord, help me to accept those things I can change and have the wisdom to know the difference. We got to know the difference. There are some things that we can do to make a positive change, but one of the main things that I help change to take place, that a cause, I should say, change to take place is prayer. Consulting Jehovah. And allow God to take action and do what God tells us to do. Do our part, but God does it all. Amen? We can't demand nobody to do right. We can't demand people to be saved. We can't. We should not. We can, because people do it all the time. Let me rephrase. We can try to demand. We can demand, but that's not going to get results. So our life, as you said, and I'm going to close because I, you know, there's so much more I want to do here. But life is full of disappointments. And if we are not extremely careful, those expectations that we have that are just not rational will derail us. It will derail us in our walk with God. We'll have a train wreck for sure. It'll derail us as they become demands of our heart. It is not wrong for us to hope for the best and look to the Lord for that. 1 Corinthians, let me take you to where it says that. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen? Love believes. Love hopes. And it's the same is true for faith. According to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. But in that it says, love bears all things, endures all things. Please see here, believing and hoping, bearing and enduring. We believe, we hope, and we bear, and we endure. So we got to put the whole sandwich together. You know, when you want a good sandwich, you get it dressed. You get it with all your favorite things on it. Hallelujah. When you take a bite, ooh, it's so good. It's so good because it's got everything you want on it. So when we believe, we ought to believe, we ought to hope, but we can't leave our bearing and enduring. That makes the big picture come forth. Hallelujah. We see the big picture now. Hallelujah. We're, you know, hope and believing is sandwiched between bearing and enduring. That's what my point is. You've got the sandwich, and it's got everything in the middle of it. It's got everything it needs to make you say, delicious. Hallelujah, this is so good. I got my favorite sandwich with everything on it. Hallelujah. So God holds us responsible for trusting in him, for obedience, for love, for endurance, and for faithfulness to do what he has called us to do. He does not hold us responsible for the results. I'll say that again. Let me please say this. I will please say it again. God holds us responsible for trusting in him, for obedience, for love, and to be able to endure, and for faithfulness to do what he has called us to do. We can't please God without faith. But he does not hold us responsible for the results. The results are in his hands, not ours. We can't change people, and we often can't change our own circumstances. Only God can do it. And our expectations we can easily begin to have a sense of demanding people. You do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. No, that's not how it goes. It don't go like that. We're not supposed to demand it. God has given us commandments, and he gave us a choice to follow or not to follow. He gave us a choice of life or death. And who are we to demand anybody? Who are we to just tell people what to do? We're supposed to teach people, yes, but who are we, let me put it another way, who are we to try to make people do what we want them to do, how we want them to do, go where we want them to go, and just be like a puppet on the string? No. God don't even do that. He give us his word, tells us what we ought to do, and then we have to make a decision to follow. and to apply those principles to our lives. Only God can. Only God can. We can't demand that things work out the way we think they should. When that happens, we are usurping. We don't even understand. We can usurp authority, usurping God's sovereignty, and acting as though we are the big cheese. We miss the big stuff or miss big stuff. We're all wise. Well, you're not the creator. You're not the maker. We're not the maker. We're not the creator. We're not the almighty, almighty, unchanging God. No, we're not. So when we focus on our expectations like Job did in chapter 40, verses 1 to 9, what happened with Job? And I need to close after this, I believe. Then the Lord answered Job, chapter 40, verse 1. Go with me now. Go with me. Y'all listen, listen. Then the Lord answered Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let the person who accuses God give him an answer. Verse 3. Then Job answered the Lord, indeed, I am completely unworthy. How could I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth to silence myself. Verse 5, I have spoken once, but I cannot answer twice. But I will say no more. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, then the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Verse 7, get ready for a difficult task like a man. In other words, stand up, Job. Stand up, Job. Stand up like a man. I will question you, and you will inform me. Verse 8, would you indeed annul my justice? Would you declare me guilty so that you might be right? Verse 9, do you have an arm as powerful as God's? And can you bring thunder? Can you thunder with a voice like his? Oh, my God. Did he not tell Job off? So when we focus on our own expectations and we want to make the results like we want them to be, and we want to be our own source, the source of our own happiness, the source of our own security, my God, we end up like in an Elijah syndrome. We are fearful, ready to run away. My God, we are all tied up in our emotions, feelings of failure and depression, fear, frustration. All of this happens even with leaders. Don't get it twisted. It happens with leaders. People don't want to see it. Why? Because we're looking up to them as better than we are. We're looking up to them as these gods. We don't even realize that we've made idols out of somebody. They are idols in our eyes. They're not idols in none of them. God doesn't look at any of us greater than him. And I'm surely not going to look at anybody greater. And nobody's better than what God made us all. He made us all. And he said he's no respecter of persons. And that means that God loves us all the same. And he's given us all gifts. He's given us all abilities, my God. But the one thing we must know is that we have to depend on God for those gifts to come to full fruition. My God, for the things that he's put into us to be used for his glory. Amen. Got to be focused, but there's a problem with focus. There's a problem with focus when we're looking the wrong way. Amen. The issue of our focus, very, very important. You know, we talk about it all the time. Elijah knew Jezebel's reputation and character. Now, he's disappointed over how it all turns out because his expectations were shattered. He focused his eyes on the condition. That is so, so bad because it makes us headed for a letdown. The wicked in that irate, wicked queen wanted to do harm when she couldn't have her way. And he believed she was going to do what she said. And that finally king, Ahab, couldn't control her, could not and would not control his wife. He was spineless. He allowed her to be in control. My God,
but we should never walk by sight. As things appear to us, we ought to walk by faith, knowing that God is the sovereign Lord in control, and he is the one that will protect us and provide for us. Oh, he'll give us divine wisdom, divine guidance, divine provision, all of this, divine protection, divine healing, all. And all we have to do is depend on God. Does this mean that we ought to be ignorant of all the things that we see, ignorant of the problems, or ignore them, I should say? Ignore is a better word. To ignore them so that we stick our heads in the sand. Hallelujah. We stick our heads down and we hide. We stick our heads in the sand. We isolate ourselves and we hide things. We hide the truth. We hide a whole bunch of stuff. And what happens is we get misdirected. If we do that, I hope we really don't do that, because only a weak faith ignores issues. Weak faith ignores a problem. Weak faith will continue to look at things their own way. When the faith is weak, we look at it, we got our way mixed in. It's a mixture. Well, you know, we shouldn't do that, because God is not going to allow it any other way. It's either his way or it's not right. Any other way is not of God. There's only one way. He is Yahweh. One truth, Yahweh. And the life is in him. Hallelujah. And so I think we need to stop here. I have so much I have to get done today. Glory to God. And I just thank God. I wanted to recap here, because when we come back, we're going to move along. And we're going to move out of, we're going to move to the end, basically the end of the chapter. And we're going to go, still be there, but we're going someplace else. Hallelujah. We are to, but please, I leave you with this. Just stay focused on the Lord. Seek the Lord and look to the Lord. We got to look away from the issues, look beyond the problems, and look at it through the eyes of faith. By faith, we are going to see what's real. Though some things are invisible realities about God's person, some things are invisible, but nevertheless, we walk by faith and not by sight. Got to have that faithfulness in the promises of God and the principles that he has outlined for our lives. And those things will come forth. The principles we believe in, the principles we apply, is going to live a victorious life. It helps us in our training. And we can't rush God. Just know that it's a process. Developing godly character is a process. It takes time, and everybody is not where we are. We got to be careful what we say to people and what we do, and stop trying to force people to be a certain way, and just ask God for divine wisdom and divine understanding. And when we open our mouth, we need to open up our mouth with wisdom. God will give us that. He said he'll give us wisdom liberally. Can have it. Ask him for his guidance. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Be confident. Be confident in God who gives life to death. Hallelujah. He gives life to death. He gives comfort to those who are troubled. Glory be to God. Good life. God is in control. He's able to do all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're so grateful. We're so grateful for all you have done, Jehovah. Thank you, Jesus. Faith knows God is the one Hallelujah. Faith keeps us confident that God is going to always do what's right because he's a holy God. Hallelujah. Faith says that every promise of God is true, and he's a promise keeper. Hallelujah. And we can claim the promises of God. We can stand on the faithfulness of God and keep his word as he is going to keep his promises. Hallelujah. God is against all of our enemies. Hallelujah. And we must not waver. Glory be to God in what we know is true. God is in charge, and he's going to stay faithful. Hallelujah, to what he has promised. Glory to God. He stayed faithful with the resurrection, with the death and the life and death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. God was faithful to bring this to pass. Hallelujah. It was prophesied all through the Bible that the Messiah was going to come. Glory be to God, and he did. The promise of the Messiah has been fulfilled. Glory to God. So therefore, by faith, we are to continue to do the things God has called us to do, like pray, trust, work, serve, go to a doctor, or get counsel. Hallelujah. But go to the great physician first. Go to the counselor himself, Jesus Christ. He's the best counselor you'll ever have. But God forbid that we should run ahead of God, trying to escape. Reality, escape our job, escape from something and go hide somewhere. No, God has already made a way of escape through the cross. And hallelujah, he's the ram in the bush. He's the sacrifice that was given. Hallelujah. So although we want to see change happen, that's fine. There are some things in my life that I would like to see change. But I got to wait and see what God is going to do about it. So it's all right to want change, but we can't manipulate and try to control, be in control of people and control of the situation. Because when we try to be in control, we'll get like Jezebel. That's the Antichrist spirit. Trying to be in control. It's the spirit of witchcraft. So whenever we walk by sight, we forfeit the great, good, great blessings of God and his provision. It doesn't mean that he's forsaken us. God did not forsake Elijah. He sought him out, ministered to him. During our times of unbelief or during our times when we feel depressed and left out and forsaken, don't forfeit God. Don't forfeit God. They're there working in your behalf. Hallelujah. See, in Genesis chapter 13, Lot chose according to his sight, not faith, and he ends up losing everything. He pitched his tent in Sodom and Gomorrah, in a place where there was nothing but sin. People there didn't worship God. They worshiped their greed. They worshiped their money god. It was a place of much progress. The economy was great. People were earning, they had a lot of money. They were rich. So he was focused on greed, and it led him to losing everything, even his wife, his family. Because she looked back and she turned to stone, because God said, leave and don't look back. She looked back. So we have to stay focused on the now. We have now faith, right now faith, and stay focused in our faith. We can do that. So please, please, stay connected to God and listen for God at all times. You see, these people walk by faith, and they forfeited the privilege. They forfeited the privilege of the promises of God to come forth in their lives. People died as a result of it. The nation suffered as a result of it, the nation of Israel. And finally, as I close, it's helpful to remember that we cannot truly remain in God, in the service of God, with the Lord, and with our problems at the same time. What I'm saying is that we can't be focused on our problems, all of our problems, and focused on other folks and not be focused on the Lord and think that everything is just going to work out just for our good. It's going to work out for our good in the end if we follow the Lord and repent. But if we're looking up to other people and looking up to all our problems, what we're saying to God, we're rejecting God. We're not going to God. We're not going to God as our number one overseer. Amen. We got to be looking unto Jesus. It needs to be on the Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We got to stop being self-centered. We got to stop seeking our own security and happiness in good times. We got to feel good. We got to go and do our own thing rather than stay in there with the sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. We got to be focused, stay focused. Amen. The apostle Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice, I say. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's in Philippians chapter 4:4. But where did he say that? While everything was going his way? No. He said it while he was chained to a Roman soldier waiting trial, which could have meant his head being severed. He said it while others were seeking to do him harm, even when the Christian community instead, even the Christian community, but instead, Paul sung this beautiful song, hallelujah, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The Lord sits on the throne every day, and he's going to have his way. Hallelujah. So don't flee from responsibility. Don't go into isolation. That can bring on deep depression. Stay connected to the people of God in the name of Jesus. Stay faith connected by faith. I'm coming to get her. Don't make yourself sick. Yeah. Okay. So call on the Lord at all times. We're going to come back with one more. And the Lord, we may change the topic, but we'll still be in the same frame of this sermon. Hallelujah. So the problem is he arose and he ran. He went down to the desert to hide. He did so without God's direction, without God as his primary shelter. So let's not forget how God earlier had directed Elijah in a lonely, in a place where he was, and now he was in a lonely place, but God got him out, and we talked about that yesterday, and we'll go back there. Amen. Kids, Pastor, now to do the prayer of salvation. Glory to God. I got to go attend to something. Glory to God. Thank you all for coming. God bless y'all, and God keep y'all, and as the Lord directs, we'll be back again, as he directs. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. There's no better time than now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. If you're backslidden, come back home, sisters and brothers. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do so and come back. Hallelujah. Now, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, God knew that we were only made of dust, and that each and every one falls short, have fallen short. The word of God says that, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God also said in his word that the wages of sin
death. Hallelujah. It's spiritual death. Hallelujah. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, Jesus Christ is the only way. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, the Word, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Romans at chapter 8, beginning chapter 10, verse beginning at verse 8, but what does it say? Well, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is over all. He is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a promise of God. Hallelujah. And the only way to God is God calls us all to himself. And the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way. For in the book of Acts at chapter 4, verse 12, it clearly states, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus, the Christ, the Anointed One. So if you've made that confession, and I pray that you have, and if you've returned back home and rededicated your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you, if you have done this, repent. Repent of all your sins. For your sins have been forgiven if you've made this confession. You're a brand new creature in Christ. God bless you. If you've returned, you're a brand new creature in Christ. Hallelujah, if you're straight. I urge you on this day to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And you must speak it out. Speak it out. The word says it's in your mouth, so you have to speak it out. Because the enemy can't read your thoughts. But when you speak it, it goes into the atmosphere. And the enemy knows that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, and there's no other way. There's no other way. Now, in the book of Acts is where we baptize. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, and the word says, then Peter said unto them, repent, every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as our Lord God will call. And the Lord God calls us all to himself. In the book of John, chapter 6, verse 44, clearly states, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. So God draws us all. And I will raise them up in the last day. That's a promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, back into the book of Acts, chapter
chapter 2 and verse 40. And then with many other words, Peter, he testified and encouraged them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you have dedicated your life to the Lord God Almighty. And if you have backslidden, that you have rededicated your life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, when you get baptized, invite friends to your baptism.
family members, friends, neighbors, co-workers, strangers on the street, invite them, because by doing so, a soul may be saved. And that soul is accredited to you if you've invited them and they accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's very simple. If God gives us an exchange, hey, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. If you bring a soul into the kingdom by just merely telling someone to come and witness you being baptized, it serves a twofold purpose. The world will know that you've accepted Jesus, and somebody will say, hey, I want to do so myself. And they accept Jesus as their Savior, then that soul is credited to your account just by telling them that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior and that you're being baptized. Now, if you have a Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, you should get yourself a Bible. A good Bible would be King James, New King James, Logos, Hallelujah, New Living Translation. They're all good Bibles. Hallelujah. And by doing so, if you ask the Holy Spirit to lead you where He wants you to read, read a scripture or two every day and get to know the Lord even better through His Word. Read the scripture, ask God to interpret exactly what He wants you to know, and you will be considerably blessed for doing so. So God bless each and every one of you. God bless you. And once again, welcome to the family of God. And there's a celebration going on in heaven if you've made that confession today. Don't hesitate, because we don't know when our soul will be required. Do it today, I urge you. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And tell a friend and bring them to the scripture. Hallelujah. Bring them to the scripture as a book. Remember, it's in the book of Romans, chapter 10, and confession is made in verse 9. Hallelujah. So, God bless each and every one of you once again. Welcome to the family of God. We love you and looking forward to hearing from you. And return to Block Talk Radio, if you will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Apostle.
God bless you, sir. And Apostle Linda, for that awesome word. Thank you. I know you all are busy, but thank you for another outpouring of the word of God as He gave you utterance, leading you through the scriptures. What a powerful word. But the main word today was faith. I was hearing that. That was so powerful. Yes. Faith. Faith, yes, was the main word. That was, yes, the main word. And what you said was, this anointing says God would reward you for your faith, you know.
Yes.
And he said that without faith it's impossible to please Him. But,
yes,
you know, it was so beautiful how you put that, you tie that faith. I'm in the garage right now. How you tie that faith in there, because a lot of people give up because they don't have faith to stand. And you need faith to stand. It's not just going to happen. You need faith. All of us need faith to stand, because there's a trial that's coming at us all the time. He is constantly coming at us and testing us and trying us to see if we really is who we say we are. You know, we need faith. We need faith to stand. So I really, really appreciate that. And then you went back and you touched back on Ahab and Elijah and Jezebel.
Yeah.
You're really whipping her bad. I mean, that's Jezebel, she ain't got a foot to stand on. You were seriously, apostle, you were seriously whipping that Jezebel. You whipping her so bad that old girl don't know where to go. She said,
amen.
One time, this apostle is hitting me. What do I got to do? But I'm going to tell you, Apostle, the way you're hitting that old witch, you're going to have to really pay attention to your own self. I'm going to tell you something, because you hit that witch, mm-hmm, that old Satan going to try to attack you. You know what I'm saying? He's going to try to attack you.
He tried.
I'm telling you the truth. He gonna, I hear what I said. He's going to try to he's going to try to attack you because you're hitting the witch. And the witch worked for him. You know, she worked for him. She's on his payroll. You know, and you really explaining that, taking the time and explaining the ups and downs of that scripture. The Lord is revealing it to you. And it's made so plain. You're making it so plain. And I'm enjoying it. I'm telling you the truth. I am enjoying it. And even in this time that I'm taking a little break, you know, I'm enjoying every minute of it. The enemy is attacking my stuff, but he can't stop my stuff. You know,
he can't
touch my stuff. He's attacking even my body he's attacking, but coming at it because he's trying to see if he can make me give up, but I got faith. You know, that faith you talk about, I got that. I got that.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you that since we have come together as a body of believers, I can tell you without equivocation that my faith has gone to another dimension. You
praise
know,
you God.
My faith has gone to another dimension. And I've been attacked. I'll tell you no lie, I've been attacking my body, been attacking my spirit and everything. And but I still standing.
I know.
I still standing. Yeah, been attacking my finances. Man, I'm telling you something. I mean the people hijacked my debit card. Almost sent my wife crazy. Cause you know we retired, so every penny counts. I'm just being honest with you. Every penny counts. You know we still doing stuff for the kingdom. We still doing stuff for the kingdom because my God, I ain't trying to save stuff to make nobody say I'm this and I'm that. I'm doing stuff. We doing stuff for the kingdom. And them jokers, you know, them jokers hijack our debit card, the debit number, you know, and the bank alert us. And then everything went on hold. So we couldn't do nothing. You know, when you're on hold, they got you on hold. You can't do nothing. You can't go to the grocery store. You can't do nothing. They got you on hold because they're trying to investigate this, investigate that, because they want to know if you're lying and all that kind of stuff. Well, you're going to lie about stuff like that, you know. So they got to investigate, you know. And I said, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that devil's a mess, man.
Oh, yeah.
These people don't
know
he's submit, man.
They got so much evil, and people are hacking people's card and hacking,
stealing
identities. And so we thank God that they could be extra careful because, you know, people do that with their own debit cards. They go out there, and then it says lost or stolen. And, you know, so thank God that they're taking the time to get to the bottom of what happened.
Yeah, we got the alert, you see, because every time if something goes wrong, I'm sure you got that on your phone too, on your account.
Yes, I do.
Even if we buy something, even if I go to the store, and I go to the store a lot buying, shopping for plumbing and air conditioning equipment, even like now in summertime, I'm going to be running back and forth buying condensers and receptors and all that kind of stuff. So if they see the card move too red too often, they would say, well, the card removing pretty thing. They said, well, is that you? They send me a thing, and I say, if I get the code on my phone, then I got to call them back, connect with the bank, and let them know that was me. But this time it wasn't me, and it wasn't my wife, so she was bent out of the chair. I said, honey, it's just a little time. It's a couple of days. They have the stuff back again in a couple of days. So we couldn't do nothing. The people are crazy, man. I mean, they spend all day trying to get in people's credit account. They spend all day trying to get in people's accounts. All day. All day. Mm-hmm. And then they send you, I don't open anything. Then they send you stuff telling you about you. You win this. How can I win something when I ain't playing nothing? You know what I'm saying? I mean, fool of stuff. Tell me about one. Oh, Mr. Keller, just called back. I said to my wife, I said, now, you know, I ain't playing nothing. How can I win something? They're going to tell me that my name has been approved for this because I won this much money and I just got a check. I said, nope. I ain't even open that stuff. You know, they just stuck that stuff on the front page because they want to get my information. I told my wife, that's all it is. That's how them crooks do. But put aside all that, the word, the message to their apostle was just right on point. It's constantly on point. It's constantly on point. God is steady speaking to us. And if all we got to do is listen. God is steady speaking to us. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And we really, you talked about something today. You said people got to be very careful what they're saying. You got to be careful of what you're saying. You know, before you release stuff out of your mouth, you know, you cause people to leave the church. And that going to come against it on judgment. You know, when we speak stuff that and hurt people and cause people to leave the church, it will come against us on judgment. You hear what I say? We. I put myself in there. We.
Yeah.
And that was so powerful when you say that. I said, wow, that is awesome. Because that's the truth.
Amen.
You know, none of us has gotten to that place that we can raise the white flag or the red flag or the blue flag, whatever flag you choose to raise, that we got it together. All of us, the Bible make it very clearly, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, A-double-L. You know, so we got to be really, we have an open mind to help our brother and our sister. You may have a PhD or you may have some doctorate degree, but that don't make you more than me. You may have a BA or MA or whatever it is, don't make you more than next person. You know what I'm saying? And folk think because somebody might be able to elaborate and use a lot of fancy words, that don't make them no more. And you know, God showed me that stuff. Man, he took me to New Orleans.
Amen.
I was with the doctors and those with all different degrees, you know. And he took me to New Orleans, my pastor paid, because I couldn't afford to pay, not New Orleans, to Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to pay at that time. And he paid for a whole bunch of the elders and pastors in the church. He said, I want you all to come and go and finish this thing. I mean, I meant thousands of people and hundreds of leaders. And the Lord showed me. He says, I'm taking you here. He says, the Lord said, I'm going to take you here. I love you to experience this because this is what I don't want you to do. And I listened to them.
Amen.
I listened to those pastors and bishops and archbishop and all that stuff. Man, would elaborate so heavy. I tell you, apostle was so heavy. I mean, the call words that I had to search the dictionary to find the words. And then after the service, I see these same people that was preaching and teaching with such tenacity, man, out there with the whores, with the prostitutes. You hear what I'm telling you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about and seeing the same bishop that preached that everybody was shouting when he was preaching. And he's from Washington, D.C., the archbishop. And that man was tore up from the floor up. You hear what I tell you? Ooh. Tore up from the floor up. He couldn't even stand up. He was tore up, he was tore up so bad. He couldn't stand up. And God told me, this is what I want you to see. You know, he said, this is what I want you to see. This is what I don't want you to be. And I said, oh, God, thank you. You know, because you were saying that in the message, you know, the things that you do can make some person avoid being saved. You know, somebody said, well, I don't want to be saved because if that's where Christian folk act, you know, I don't want to be saved. Well, I'm doing that right now. I don't have to be saved to do that. You know, so we have to be very careful. Have to be very careful. So.
Yes, sir.
You know, our lifestyle is more than your preaching. More important than your preaching.
Sir.
You know, it says you can give a man a fish, but you can teach him to give him a fish and he'll eat for a day, teach him to fish and he'll eat for a lifetime. Well, that's the same way of preaching. You know, we can tell people a lot of stuff, but when they see your lifestyle is for real, they want to live the Christian life. You know, but if we're not living it, no, they don't want to be no part of it. They don't want to be no part of it. And a lot of times we find it difficult to really walk that walk. We talk it very loud, but walking it is another story. And God
Amen.
Wants us to don't just talk it. He wants us to walk it, live it. You know, he wants us to live it because people are
Amen.
Watching us. We are the Bible on 2 feet.
That's
you know,
right.
We are the living Bible. Walking
right.
parts, so we got to become living epistles. You know,
that's the truth.
That's why you say with even with African India, when I tell them people, I say that we going to do something for you, I do it. We do it. Because why? We want them to say, well, these is real people of God. You know, we want them to say they're really representing God. They say what they say and they do what they say. And we do it.
Amen.
And I'm very happy. So I just thank you for allowing God to use you, woman of God. And now I know you're going to come back with a part 10. I know who preaching tomorrow because I have to take my computer, one of my computers in the shop tomorrow. It is messing up. And you don't know how hard it get me to get on Blog Talk this morning. I mean, it is just messing up. So, you know, the enemy don't want this Blog Talk. I told you that they're coming against me. They're coming against us.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy don't want this Blog Talk really to continue. And coming against it, man, that must be usable. I must be travelable 7 or 8 times to get the line open. And
Amen.
I could see, I couldn't get on there. I said, okay, I see what you're doing, Sid. But I'm going to get in there. You know, so we thank
God.
Father God, we thank you and praise you. We thank
Hallelujah.
You and praise you, O God, for this bishop and for this apostle. And thank you, O God, for the tenacity and the being tenacious enough, seeking your word, Lord God, seeking your face and not your hand. And, Lord, I know they're getting your hand because they go after your face. And, Lord, even as the songwriter said this morning that he want to seek your face and touch your grace. Be touched by your grace. I pray this morning that whatever that this apostle and bishop has to do for this day in the service of the kingdom, God, that you be with them, that you give them the wisdom and the understanding that they need to speak to whoever they have to speak to do whatever they have to do today, Lord, that you be right in the midst, oh God. I know they're not going to do it without you, Lord, so I am asking you, Father God, to give them clear understanding of every word that they choose to speak today out of their mouth, O God. We ask, O God, for strengthening in the areas that they're weak and the areas that they're strong, make them even stronger, God, that the enemy would know that these are yours. These are your bought and washed believers. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. We thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless you. Thank God for you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for both of you.
I'm glad you enjoyed.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. Amen.
Yes.
And I'm looking
it's a sweet
forward
word.
To the next part. Amen.
It was a sweet word. It was a sweet word. It was a sweet word. You know, you hear it say like, David said the word is like honey to my lips and
mm-hmm.
water to my soul. And that's what you deliver today. As always,
Amen.
You are always, you search the scriptures and you can tell that you
Thank
search
you.
The scriptures by the way you teach. You teach and
Amen.
Preach. You know, you search
Amen.
The scriptures for
Thank
a greater understanding. And that's
Thank
what
you,
makes
man.
The difference, you know. You know, you search it, and you know
Thank
I'm hearing a love in your spirit that I know it's there. It's been there ever since, but I'm hearing a love in your spirit like it's like a refreshing love that's coming out your spirit now. You just when you listen back to your teaching now, don't own and you talked mm-hmm. about. You talked about going back. Go back and listen to
mm-hmm.
one of them early messages, and you will
Amen.
Hear how God has enveloped you, your spirit. Go back and listen. Go back and listen. It will bless you. It will bless you because I hear it. I hear that love, that freshness in the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, that God is doing right now with you and Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so sweet. You know,
yes,
so let's keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's keep doing it.
I will. With the help of the Lord, amen.
Yep.
With the help of God, we will.
That's the only way we can do it. With His help. And He sees and He knows our desire is to have more of Him. He knows it. He knows it.
Yes, He does.
So, if you got to go, you can go. We'll open the line. And there's a lot of people on the line. If anybody wants to respond, they can respond. But you got stuff to do. You can go ahead and do what you got to do. And be safe. If you got to go, if you don't have to go, still be safe.
Amen. Amen. Stop that. Amen. I'm gonna put the phone on mute and get into what I have to get into. And
okay.
I'll be on the phone for a little bit more, and then I'll have to go.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Thank you for all of the encouragement, all of the inspiration, and the main thing is that we thank God for the walk of holiness. You know, what you model as a Christian of God, and that is so, so important. And for others on the line who do the same thing, we're very, very grateful to be among this company. I say it all the time. I can never say it enough. It's so important that God has put us here, put us in the right place with the right people. Amen. And I'm grateful
Amen.
For that. I'm grateful for the word today. I'm grateful for what God is doing. And I just look forward for more and more from God. More and
yeah.
more. And I always say to God, God, I need you to do this. I cannot do this without you.
Mm.
I can't. I have to depend on God at all times. Amen. And, you know, some people
Amen.
Say, they're always praising God. They always this, they always that. Like I said in the message, I got to pray and praise, and I got to pray about everything. Nothing
Everything,
is,
that's right.
Nothing is too trivial or minute to pray about. And, you know, because that's when we say, when we say God is our everything, then we pray about everything. Amen. And so I thank God for the word, Apostle. And I've truly enjoyed this. I enjoy doing this. And I thank God that I had that opportunity to do this, to share with God's people. Mm-hmm. What? Amen. Amen. So the
yes.
line is open. I believe Pastor Millie is preaching tomorrow. I believe she's already got a topic.
Okay.
She's going through something. Pray for her today. She's got an issue with her yard. Please lift her up. She needs people to help her to get her yard together. While she was away, the grass got real high, and they wanted to... Her car has to be moved, and she says she's going to have to try to move her car, push her car. So, please, I pray with her already, but I need Block Talk Family to pick her up. Amen.
Yes.
Get all her concerns taken care of. She's got a flooring issue that needs to be taken care of. And we know Joe Jarrett got that. He got it. He's got it taken care of. We just pray for the right people and, you know, that she have the favor of the Lord and all of those concerns that's going on right now. All right?
Yes.
And also her brother-in-law is in the hospital. Got one that has the kidney issue. Her sister's husband, the one that's battling cancer. And now her husband's battling an issue on top of the kidney. And so we ask you all to lift them up as well, and also that they have people take that's going to be really, really suitable, perfect for what he needs. That's the thing that's on our plate right now more than, you know, it's a whole lot. But we thank God. We thank God that he's in control. So I just ask the family of God to lift up these issues for us
and also continue to lift up Darren. We still haven't heard from him. Just enough. And I thought I would hear from him yesterday because it was his birthday, but I didn't hear from him yesterday either. His daughter hasn't heard from him. None of us have heard from him. And so we just thank God that we know God is in control. But it would be nice if you could get a phone call or get something from him. All right, so I'm going to leave you all with that and leave you all with the fact that you know we love you and that we're praying for you and that God will keep you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you and praise you, God, for Prophetess Millie and for her concerns. Lord, we know that you have all things in your hand and nothing happened without your knowledge. So, Father, we ask you right now, in the precious name of Jesus, that you meet them at their point of need, O God. And Lord, even as apostle and bishop are going forth to minister and to do what you have called them to do, Lord, we ask for your guidance. We ask for your protection. We ask, O God, that you give them traveling mercy as they travel. And even if they're not traveling, Lord, you give them the words that they need to speak while they are in the home. Oh, God, while they're ministering to the folks that are there. And, Father, we are careful. Thank you for Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. Thank you for Deacon Fraser. We thank you for Evangelist Brown, Evangelist Campbell, Evangelist Tina, Evangelist Sheila, Minister Andera. God, we thank you, oh, God, for all those that are part of this Apostle LeGrant. We thank you for Apostle Victoria Myers, Lord, we thank you. Eve, right now, Jesus, we thank you for all those that are part of this Blog Talk family, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you will do, God, because you are faithful. You are faithful, God. And we honor you, Lord. We honor you with what we say and what we do, God. Even right now, God. God, we just thank you for your mercy and for your grace. For your grace surpasses everything that we can expect, oh God. We ask you, God, to continue to watch over the people of God in these perilous times that we are in, God. We ask you, Father, to, Lord God, to continue to heal Deacon Fraser's father, Lord. God, we ask you to give his mother strength, oh God, to continue in the ministry that you have called her to. Lord, we ask you this. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, to do for her what only you can do, Lord Jesus. And Father, we'll be careful, so careful, to give you all the glory and all the honor. In the matchless name of Jesus, Lord, we are prayed. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you all today. The line is open for anyone that want to encourage the Apostle Washington. The line is open.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, amen. If nobody wants to encourage the woman of God, the man of God, we're going to pray and close out because, you know, they have done what the Lord has called them to do. And we are grateful. We are truly grateful for the word that they have released today. Hallelujah. And they are faithful. You know, they are faithful.
Amen. Amen.
You got it, Brother Deacon?
Amen.
You got it?
Amen. Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord, Apostle. Pray the Lord. Pray the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I was on early morning. I had dropped all over the bad connection, and I got back on from traveling early this morning, and I was on mute. I was on silent. Couldn't even hear the word too good, but I made sure I listened back over tonight. And I just really truly thank God that I heard the message today. I thank God what I really heard. I really enjoyed it on today. Really, I really enjoyed the word of God on today. I just thank God that I'm always have a chance to come and encourage on the word of God. Truly said, the word really blessed this morning. I really truly enjoy what the word of God is doing right now. He's doing awesome work. I mean, you do awesome work in the kingdom. And I really thank God because as long as you do what the word of God, do the work of God, God is pleased. God is pleased. And that's the only thing. God is pleased. He pleased that his message go forward. You know, let the word of God will be in each one of us. But we just thank God that I just thank God that I'm always coming and listening at the word of God. Even though that sometimes I don't get to regulate on the message, but at the same time, but I just thank God when I'm able to come and hear the word of God. And, you know, it always bless me that I come and hear the voice today, because I'm always happy when I'm always hearing the word of God. I just really thank God that each one of us is a servant. Each one that, even though sometimes that those don't come and don't encourage, but always remember, God is each one of our encouragement. We got to know that he is our encourager, no matter what. He is our encourager. No matter how bad it gets, we got to know God have our back. No matter what. He is always there. As you said in the message, he is a respectful person. He's a person that he'll never leave and he won't forsake us. But I just really truly say I really thank God on the awesome word on today. That what I really heard and I really truly enjoy the word of God been said. I just say keep on teaching the word of God. Let God continue to use you. Let God continue to speak through you and stay on the wall with Jesus. I always say all the time, always stay on the wall for God, wall for Jesus. And yes, we all are blessed. When we're blessing the city, we're blessing the field, and we come where we go. And we just thank God. We just thank God for his word on today. I do really truly say I come to hear the word of God. That really means there's only one thing in my life. I can't think nothing else. Never can get enough to hear on the word of God, because I could be doing something that when I ain't got no benefit what I'm doing. But I tell you what, I really trust the Lord. You know, the Bible says you have to trust the Lord. Trust God. I rather listen to his word to be listening to something that ain't worth, something that's not worth, ain't worth listening at. Because when you listen to something, the word of God, that's what always matters. When you listen at the word of God, even though I'm not there yet, but I thank God that where I used to be, I thank God for what he's doing, because he's doing mighty good works in everyone's lives. He's doing every work in everyone's lives. See, the one thing about it, that's one thing what we do. We come in and help one another. We're not trying to down nobody. We're not trying to criticize nobody. We're not trying to put our mouth on nobody. We're not trying to do those things, but we just trying to we'll help us for one another. So I just say I choose to thank God for the word what has been said on today. It really truly it blessed me on this morning. I really truly thank God. And I just thank God for you, Mother, to keep on teaching the word, keep on let God tend to use you, let God is what God was in you. Because it will pay off after a while. You will get your award someday. Even you are Prophet Miller, but we'll get your award someday. You know, Bishop James, we all going to get our award someday. We all going to get our award in the kingdom on his time. But we just thank God on the word and what has been said. I really truly was blessed by the word. I really truly enjoyed it. May God continue to bless you all. Keep me in your prayer, my family in prayer. Everyone lifted up in the name of Jesus. Keep everyone lifted up. So that is one thing that we have. We have to encourage one another. We have to pray for one another. We have to pray for all over the world, all over the United States. We have to pray. We have to pray for the Christian community. We have to pray for the whole world of the United States. Pray in the White House. Pray for the President of the United States. We have to pray for everything. We have to pray for everything that was happening all over the world, all over the city and state, all over. And up in Thailand, up in Jerusalem, and back there for the young people that losses, their lives have been lost. The young children are gone and dead and gone. We got to pray. We got to keep praying for everybody. We have to pray. But that's why it's so important to pray. Because we never know, you know, tomorrow never promised to nobody. We tomorrow never promised to anyone. We have to always got to lift each other up. No matter how bad we get, we got to lift each other. While we mad at one another, while we point our finger at one another, we got to encourage one another. Don't try to put each other down. Let's try to pray for one another, each other, and spend time with Jesus more than while we point our finger at one another. So I just thank God on the word that what I heard today. I really truly enjoyed it on today. I really enjoy what he will do, and we will continue to do in your lives. So may God continue to bless on the word, and may he keep you. In Jesus' name, keep all over the world, all over the United States of America. So well, God bless you all. Keep me lifted up in prayer. Everyone lifted up, that I would get more understanding of this word. May God continue to bless you all. Amen and amen. God bless, and I love each one of you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen, Brother Deacon. Thank you so much for that response. Apostle is happy. We thank God for what he's doing in your life, your family's life, and keeping your mother and keeping your father. We just thank God. Thank God for Apostle Clay.
Yeah.
Shepherdess Holmes. We just pray God continue to heal them, heal their bodies. You know, a lot of people are suffering with arthritic pains and stuff like that today. You know, the foods that we're eating has so much chemicals in them, people are getting filled with inflammation, you know. And there's a lot of stuff we have to do now, you know, because these foods have too much chemicals inside them, and they're forming inflammation in you, in people's bodies, and give them a lot of arthritic pains. And you have to flush that stuff out your body. So we praying that God would heal the people of God. And I was just reading an email I got this morning from overseas, and they're saying that how they were, the Hamas is trying to start World War III, and on they're trying to hinder this global currency reset, because if the global currency reset, you know, a lot of people are going to be able to help other people, you know, especially the church that is involved in the reset. You know, a lot of the leaders that are involved in the reset to get money to help the poor people. And they don't want this to happen. You know, a lot of rich folk don't want it to happen. And they're pouring money into formulating a war so that this thing wouldn't go through. I got an email this morning about the currency reset also, you know. And so I am just expecting at any time to get a call or an email to go on the website and get the number, because that's what they told me this morning, to keep my phone charged, because they could call us anytime. So we are looking forward for that. I have a great expectation on that. And so we hope that it happens real, real soon. So we thanking God for that and praising God for you all, praying God for the United States of America. We're praying for Canada. Canada got a lot of stuff going on in there. They are worshiping other gods, you know. So the Bible is very clear. The Bible is making itself plain to the world that it's God's word, because every word that God has instructed the men of faith to write is making itself plain, is revealing itself to the people, to all of those that didn't believe that it's God's word. Because when they look back, they say, yeah, this is lined up with the scripture. This is lined up with the scripture. All the prophetic words are being made revealed right now. God's word. God is true. He cannot tell a lie. And everything that God said would happen is happening now. You know, he foretold everything before it happened. The Bible says he knows the end before the beginning. So he told you that people would turn away from the truth and turn to a lie. They would serve the creature instead of the creator. And we're seeing this right now. Folk don't want, a lot of people, there's a lot of people that love the Lord and want to serve Jesus. But then there's so many much more that don't want to hear about Jesus. You know, even you see the young people today, they have a billion tattoos on their body. They're piercing themselves every which way, and they don't want to hear you tell them about, you know, we got some young people that are sold out for the kingdom, but then there's so many more. And they're going to college. They're going to college, and they're very smart. But they don't want to. They tell you straight up. I listened to the young woman telling the preacher. She says she don't believe in any God. Several of them was telling the preacher, said, look, he was evangelizing. He said, look, we don't care about no God. We don't believe in their God. We believe in that we have the right to live our life the way we want to. And when we die, we're dead. When we die, we're dead. That's it. That's what they were saying. Why? Because the devil has blinded the minds of the people, lest they believe the glorious light of the gospel. See, people, they don't want to hear the truth. That's why we got to keep on pounding the truth, pounding the truth, pounding the truth. We got to keep pressing it in there, because maybe somebody might surf the web like I surfed 10 years ago, and I hear a line, and I say, wow, that's the people was talking about God, you know? And this is how we formulate Blog Talk Radio. You see? Somebody might hear a preacher or somebody saying something on this Blog Talk Radio ministry and say, yes, I want that God they're talking about. I want what they're talking about. That's why we got to keep preaching the truth, keep teaching the truth. There's no big guys or small use. Only Jesus is big. We are the children, sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we got to glorify him with our lifestyle. We got to live a lifestyle that give him glory. We got to live a lifestyle that edify the body of Christ and glorify God. We got to live that way. So I'm thanking God for you all and for this day that we had today. Prophetess Millie going to bring the word tomorrow. I'm going to be at the computer shop tomorrow, but I'm going to have two computers with me tomorrow, one that got to be fixed. and the one that has the blood clot radio, I got to go there to tell them my email address and password and all that stuff so they can get this other computer up. You know, I got so much notes in that other computer. That's my first computer. And it has so many stuff. It's an old computer, but it still lights up. You know, it just is not staying on. When I post up the stuff, pull it up, it stays on for a second and then it goes off, even though the battery is full. You know, but so I have to get that on the stand, set up a new email or password on that so that it'll stay on. And but Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for these that came on today and heard the word. We thank you for every believer and even for the unbelievers, O God, that they will come to know you as Lord and Savior. We ask, Father God, that even as we leave this line but not your presence, O God, we ask that you bless us with the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Bless us in the city and bless us in the field, O God. Father God, we are praying that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, that you make us the lenders and not the borrowers. And, oh, my Father, my Savior, my Redeemer, my soon-coming King, I pray today, Lord God, that you continue to keep your hand over Israel, over Jerusalem, Lord, protect us. Them against, oh God, the enemy that's coming against them from all four sides, oh God. We know, God, you have given them wisdom and understanding to build the equipment they need to build to the children, to protect the women, to protect themselves, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you, Lord, even this attack that they're having right now, Lord, that you cause it to cease, that no more lives will be lost, oh God. And Father, we ask, God, that you, God, put your hand over this here United States of America. And Lord, that you bring us back to you. Draw us back to you, Lord. For you say no one can come to you except the Father draw them. Draw them back to you, Lord. God, we praying today for the President, the Vice President of Congress, the Senators. Oh, God, we praying for the Supreme Court Justice Department. We praying for all those on the front line, the EMTs, oh, God, the nurses, the doctors, oh, God, the janitors, oh, God, in the hospital rooms, the teachers, Lord God. We are praying for the children, oh, God, today, those that have been kidnapped, those that are being taken each day. We're losing children to the sex trafficking and the human trafficking and for those for organ trafficking. Lord, we pray today, Lord God, that you would, so many people now are getting arrested, oh God, that are involved in sex trafficking and pedophile and all this stuff. Lord, we are praying right now, God, that you remove these people from among the society that is hurting society, Lord God. And Father, we ask, God, that you continue to, oh God, help India to get the medication that they need, oh God. Even the churches that we are helping, God, and we are sending funds, oh God, to help them to get medication and get food, God. We ask, oh God, that you protect the pastor. We just lost a couple of pastors, died from the COVID virus there in India, Lord. We're praying, Father God, and so many thousands are sick and fighting this COVID virus, Lord. We're praying, Father God, Lord God, that you're the one that have the medicine that they need, oh God, the true medicine that would heal and protect and shield, oh God, from every plague, oh God, that is plaguing the nations, the world, God. We're praying for Africa, Lord Jesus, that you would help them people to come out of their satanic worship, oh God, the demonic, the warlocks and the witches and soothsayers, Lord God, that you would convict them, oh God, to turn from the wickedness, oh God, and turn to you, Lord God. Even in the church, you have pastors and bishops and all them that are going down to the Kundalini spirit, oh God, so that they can get power to get wealth, oh God. But what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what could he give in return for his soul? Nothing. Lord, I pray today, Lord God, for every woman that is home today from work, oh God, and those that are even working, Lord, we pray, God, that you would keep them safe and secure, Lord God, that from these rapists and oh God, and these people that are hurting the women, oh God, and the little boys and the kids, Lord God, even for the woman that lost the child, that the young man went into the house and took the child out of the crib, oh God, out of the bed, and raped the child and then killed the child. Lord, I pray for that young man, 18 years old, that commits such a heinous crime. We praying for him, Lord, for he know he has some type of problem. Somebody must be raped him. And Father, we praying right now for this sickness, this this sin that's in the earth realm, O God, that you would cause it to subside. Send it back to the pit of hell where it came from. And, O God, we pray today, Lord God, that you begin to cause people to have more compassion, to be sympathetic to each other's need, O God. Lord God, that we will stop killing each other, stop hurting each other. Stop, oh God, belittling each other, Lord God. We are praying today, Lord God, that you'll give us hearts of compassion, hearts of mercy and grace, the same mercy that we expect from you, Lord God, the same love that we get from you, Lord, that we'll give to others. Father, we pray today, Lord God, for every first lady or every lady, every pastor, female apostle, female bishop, female elder or deaconess, or so on, whatever position they hold in the church, Lord God, that you protect the women as they minister to your people. Lord, I know the people are preaching against the women, but Lord, I declare and decree, God, that you use a donkey to preach, oh God, to talk to a man, oh God, to one of your servants. And if you use a donkey to talk to a man, God, you can use a woman to talk to a man. I pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that men will get out of that mindset that women are not supposed to preach or teach the gospel. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you begin to stir up the gifts in all of us, oh God, that we will reach out to the lost souls of this world, oh God. Lord, you said that you had 100 sheep and one had gone astray. You will leave the 99 to go and seek out the one. You said you come to seek and to save that which is lost. I am praying right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of our salvation, O God, that you would help us, O God, to look beyond the faults of others, O God, and see their needs. O Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus, O God, that you give us a mindset to reach down, way down, Lord God, to that one underneath the bridge, that one in that cardboard box, that one in that abandoned car, that abandoned house, O God, and tell them about your love. And not only tell them about your love, but let us show compassion, give them something to eat, that when you feed the 5,000, oh God, you just didn't send them home, God, but you told them to sit them down and took a little boy's lunch and feed them, Lord God, because you was already feeding them with the spiritual, with the word. But Lord, you give them natural food. Father, I thank you right now, and I praise you, oh God. So as we leave this line, but not your presence, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide with us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today in somebody's ear gate that will make all the difference in their lives. It might stop someone from committing suicide. It might stop someone from committing murder. It might stop someone from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father that's in heaven. We just thank God and praise God for each and every one of you. And we pray that the funds will come sooner than soon and quicker than quick so that we can help others. We can be helped. We can help the poor. We can help the widows, the fatherless, the mothers, the homeless, and the orphans, O God. We are not asking for the funds to be released so that we can be braggadocious, but we are asking for the funds to be released so that we can do much more for the kingdom. We can help the vets that we got, a lot of vets sleeping on the streets, sleeping in abandoned vehicles and underneath bridges. We can build homes. It don't take a lot of money to build those little homes. We can build thousands of those little homes when this money's released. So we ask God we keep getting updates of when it's going to be and when it's going to be, but it's not happening. And we want it to happen. We pray that God would touch the hands and the minds of those that have the power or the authority here in the earth realm to make the release happen quick, that he would touch them and it would happen so that we can do more, because we want to do more. We are doing a lot now, but we want to do even much more. Hallelujah. Even as God gives us some work, we are able to do much more, but we want to do even more than we are doing right now. We want you all to have a blessed rest of the day, and if you go out, be safe. Wear your mask, sanitizer, even though it says you don't have to wear your mask. You know, we don't know what's out there. We don't know what these people are doing. Just protect yourself, because, you know, the life you save may be your life. We thank God for you all coming on today and hearing the word. And we pray that the word has blessed you as much as it's blessed me. And if you could, download it and send it to one of your friends or family members' page. They might hear something in the message that might draw them closer to God. The word of God's word does the convicting. The spirit of the letter does the convicting. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And if somebody hear the word, it might convict them to say, well, look, you know, I've been living this way or living that way, and I need to live this way, you know, and they might go ahead and give their life, submit their life, and surrender their life to God. God bless you all. Have a blessed day, a safe day. We will be on again tomorrow and Saturday. I think Minister Andy is bringing the word on Saturday. Sunday morning, the Lord's pleasing, I will bring the word on Sunday if it's the Lord's will. I'm not going out to do no work on Sunday. I'm going out Friday evening and Saturday morning. I'm going out to do some work. I want to get this house tightened up so I can get some money off this job so I can do some things. So we bless the Lord for you all. Have a blessed evening. Safe evening. God bless you. I love you with the love of Christ, and I pray you'll love me back as much as Christ loved you, as much as I love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.